Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Are you aware of this one? Because I wasn't. Popeye's apple pie.
I know.
You were?
Yes.
You were?
I think Popeye's is the last fast food place that still fries their pies. Because remember, McDonald's for a while, they had the fried pie, but then they went to baked Popeye's pie.
That's okay. This is not Rob's take. This is
Oscar's
take.
It's a subject matter champion. They should be able to weigh in.
Yeah, sometimes you bring in an expert.
It's his consultant. Another one. I'm just going to pass it along because I've got it. Soak and wash your CPAP frame and cushion with unscented, mild, soapy, warm water. Bleach would be the opposite of mild. It would be very... When you murder someone, you pour bleach around to get rid of the biological evidence. This is great. You're fun to talk to, and I bet you're a blast. I bet you just every Friday you light up a big fatty and you just have a fantastic time. I think that's absolutely spectacular. He's shaking his head.
Why wait until Friday?
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to our show. We are enjoying our second decade of The Mike O'Mara Show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Cass, West Virginia, Lahaina, Hawaii, York Springs, Pennsylvania, Nampa, Idaho, Hooksett, New Hampshire, and Charleroi, Belgium. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. And we decided that we would bring someone on because it might be time to start getting a little hopeful about getting out of the house, maybe hitting the road. We can maybe start to think about it now.
Yes. It's a hopeful nation.
Loose plans.
In some cases, like me, I'm very optimistic because I planned for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if if the S hits the fan, I called my shot. And in the event that it goes to hell, I'm going to be out like a very significant amount of cash. We'll be doing double shows every day.
Doppel shows.
That's right.
Doppel shows. Tell the advertisers. Tim O'Brien has a book. It's called Roadside Picks and Picks, The Huge, The High, The Half Buried. Mr. O'Brien is an award-winning photojournalist who has reported on the outdoor amusement business and tourism industry. It stops me in my tracks when I look at the pink elephant in the back of him. Roadside attractions, carnivals. Tim served as senior editor of Amusement Business magazine. And as I look at him, and he was also the bass player for the Grateful Dead. I'm kidding, of course. Let me see. 18 years he spent... and 10 years as a writer and public relations executive for Ripley's, believe it or not, all while freelancing his skills to publications worldwide. Tim, can you hear me, sir?
Rob, will you unmute him, please?
Oh, okay. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
There we go.
Tim's got a great background.
Oh, yeah. He's got a pink elephant.
Now can you hear me, Tim?
It is a roadside. I'm sure it is another roadside attraction there. Who is the pink elephant, Tim?
Well, that's the elephant out in front of an antique store in Livingston, Illinois. And the whole front yard is just full of these bizarre animals that it forces you to take the nearest exit to go find them.
Let me finish with your bio, Tim. During your career, you have ridden nearly 600 different roller coasters. Our friend Joel Rogers will be excited about that. 29 different countries, those coasters. Attended state fairs in 15 states and visited too many amusement parks, fairs, carnivals, roadside attractions, and festivals to remember. Tim and his family, which includes his wife Kathleen and cats Simon and Garfunkel.
Love it.
That's we're targeting a very specific demo there. Okay, the youngsters might not know those names, but those of us that are a little longer in the tooth know Simon and Garfunkel. I love those names for cats. And he divides his time between Belgrade, Maine, and Nashville, Tennessee. When I read that, I know you have had to attend the Blue Hill Fair in that case if you're in Belgrade.
Absolutely, it's not too far away.
Yeah, the Blue Hill Fair. I never logged any time up in Maine through August. So I never got to go to the Blue Hill Fair, and I heard about this wonderful fair. It's a traditional, old-style fair with, you know, it's got the critters, and I like that.
Does it have what do they call them, the red snappers? Those hot dogs that are up there?
I don't know. Yeah.
The worst fried clams I ever had were at the Blue Hill Fair. They put them in like
a cake. Can I quote you on that?
Oh, absolutely. They were disgusting. Right. But they also had a phenomenal donut at the Blue Hill Fair that was spectacular. Okay, so Tim, decided.
It's got a food trailer that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me about the food trailer because you remember.
Oh, they
right?
just have they have two food trailers that go around the state to all the state fairs that claim to be the largest donut. And I mean, these babies are this big.
They're as big as your head. They really are. They're as big as your head.
And you always have to wait in line for it. That's the only food trailer that you have to wait for.
Tim, it's the best food at the Blue Hill Fair, and I'm sure it's the best food at a lot of other fairs. And this thing is, I mean, it is a decent deep-fried confection. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely delicious. So we wanted to get you on because you have a really great background with road trips. And I'm planning partially fly out, but most of my trip is going to be a road trip where I'm traveling from Salt Lake City to Jackson, Wyoming, to Big Sky, Montana, to Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and then wrapping things up with a side, hopefully, a meet and greet for my listeners in Spokane, Washington, and then wrapping things up in Seattle. But I wanted to get you on because I think everybody now has cabin fever, and everybody is thinking about getting out and getting out to where you go. Are there any rules of thumb? What would you tell people before you're planning on hitting the road where you're going to be seeing some of these roadside attractions?
Well, do some research if you've got time, and if you're computer savvy, get on the computer and look up the route. There's a lot of sites out there that take you from point A to point B, and attractions on either side of it, five miles, 10 miles, whatever. RoadsideAmerica.com is a good one. If you're tending to go on the weird side of things, they're definitely the ones to go with. But, you know, write it all down. But the most important thing about a road trip is to keep your eyes open. Don't say, I got to be there at a certain time. And just be open to wanderlust drives that pull you off the main highway and take you. First of all, stay off the main highways if any way possible. Take those roadside, you know, like the old Blue Line highways. Do that as much as possible. Maybe use a real map. And
what?
Look at point A. Yeah, them paper things. Go from point A to point B and look at these big towns. Look at all the little roads that maybe go in between them, and then use that to navigate you. But then if you have to find a certain thing, then you turn your GPS on. Don't rely on your GPS when you're taking a road
trip. I love that. Let me tell you why I love that, because my trip out west, where I've never been, that part of the country, I just have, for whatever reason, not spent. I've flown to Northern California, flown to San Francisco area, but Denver, airports.
Yes, that's all.
But I've never been on the road out there, and I am not spending more than two nights in any place along the road. We are designing a trip that's going to do just what you said, which is going to allow us to say, hey, let's go up. This looks like a nice town. Let's get out here, or let's go here. Let's go there. So that's fine. I'm glad you said that because I'm gonna live it. I'm gonna live it in June, Tim. But I wanted to ask you about all of the travels you've done in the road since you're the book is Roadside Picks and Picks: The Huge, the High, the Half Buried. And there's nothing in there but the elephant is there it is. You got to hold it in front of you, otherwise the elephant eats it. You've been to a lot of roadside attractions, Tim, but you're not a technical wizard. I'm looking at, if you put the book in front of your black t-shirt, you hippie, if you do that, we're going to be able to see the book. There it is right there. Oh, I want that book. I want that book.
Mike, it's available at walmart.com through our website.
That's exciting. There it is, and it's the Roadside Picks. Before we get into your picks to click, and I know, Rob, you told them I wanted to talk about out west, they'd say.
Right.
I would like to know, in all of your travels, And this might be putting you on the spot, but that's what we do on this show. What would be the roadside attraction that you would say sucked the most out of any of the... what was one where you went, that was an hour out of my way and out of my life that I will never get back?
Oh, Lordy. I was prepared to tell you my favorite.
I know you were. It's the Mike O'Mara show, so we go in the other direction here.
Can we have a technical issue here for about 10 minutes?
Well, you know what? I know Rob wanted to talk to you about south of the border.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think
south of the border, my advice to people driving along the South Carolina-North Carolina border is to accelerate. That's what I would tell them. I would tell them to accelerate. No,
you're a fan of Pedro?
You disagree. Oh, I think we're having a moment right now, Tim. I'm starting to figure you out.
This is great. Why do you like it? Why do you like south of the border?
Well, how could you not like Pedro? this huge Mexican with a beautiful that you can walk through. Pedro welcomes you 30 miles on either side of the border.
He does. Yeah. Great. Yes.
And
billboards.
Then you got all the. But all kind of funky stuff. I mean, maybe the restaurant isn't good. Maybe the miniature golf wasn't any good. Maybe the ride sucked. But, you know, how could you not like a place with, you know, name, first of all, south of the border. But, you know, everybody's name tag says Pedro on it. So you don't get confused.
Now, is that the roadside attraction that has probably the biggest ad campaign? Because it is. It starts like
billboard ad campaign.
Yeah, like maybe even 40 miles on either side of it. And when you're a kid and you're making that trek along 95 South, you're headed to, say, Myrtle Beach or something, and you start seeing these billboards and you say, this thing has got to be the greatest thing in the world. And frankly, it's not. But the buildup is part of it, right?
Oh, that's life, isn't it? I mean, the buildup is always much better. But yeah, south of the border has seen its better days. You know, back in the 50s and 60s, when everybody's making that trek down to Florida from the Northeast, it was huge, the motels, everything. But even today, I was there a couple years ago, and although it's small piece of what it used to be, it's still fun. I mean, there's really no bad. You got to keep, that's one of the rules of being a roadside junkie, is to appreciate everything for what it is. And if it's little, great. If it's big, great. Just say, wow, that's something I'd never seen before. Okay, now it's time for me to move on. So, you know, you got to appreciate it, Mike. You can't say something. I'm fine. You're a glass half full guy.
Yeah. I respect that. Yeah. I totally respect that. Oscar, you wanted to ask Tim something.
Tim, you a married man, if you don't mind me asking? Just curious.
Yeah, he's married. It's in his bio. He's married to his wife Kathleen, and they have two cats, Simon and Garfunkel.
Have you been married the entire time you've been traveling the world, or did you have maybe a single era or period of time where you met ladies from around the country?
No, as a matter of fact, Oscar, I've been married the entire time, and she appreciates it, but doesn't particularly like it.
Way to go, Kathleen.
She understands my passion and my wanderlust, and she's a great navigator. What I'll do, she goes on a lot of these trips with me, and she'll sit there with the map and everything else, and she'll say, okay, up here you turn to right, and she'll lead me. She'll even help me spot some things along the highway. She knows what I'm looking for.
All right, I'm going to ask you about the wife. Since we're on the subject of the wife, I have to ask you this, because this is what I'm picturing. I've been married for many, many years, three different women. I know a little bit about marriage, I know, but I have to ask you this. So I am picturing this woman
has... Not at the same time, sir.
No. There are only a couple of options I can think of, Tim. If she doesn't like these pink elephants that you like to stop at the side, or the ball of yarn, or whatever it is that you want to go see, or Carhenge, like Jimmy said, I picture she either has the patience of a saint, or she's a voracious reader. I picture you going in and looking at the reptile cage at south of the border, and she's out there, you know, reading another novel. Which is it, Tim?
Well, it's a combination of the two, Mike. She does stay in the car a lot, but usually texting people saying, I don't believe where I'm sitting right now.
All right, then let me ask you, since I put you on the spot, what's the best? What's the must-see? All the travels you've had across this fruited plain, what is the numero uno, in your opinion?
The most memorable was a little place outside of Nyland, California, which is just southeast of the Salton Sea. And it's called East Jesus. And it's an art colony out in the middle of Slab City, California, where, you know, there's no rules, no laws. It's just a Wild West type of thing. And you've got all these really creative people living in tents and in little travel trailers and under canopies, whatever, and creating amazing assemblage art. Really, they pick up junk, they create really fun
stuff.
It sounds
like Nomadland, the Francis McDormand movie. Yeah. Have you gotten a chance to see that yet?
Yes, I have, and part of that took place in Slab City, where they talk about the fact. And Slab City is right, you know, you get off, go through Nyland, you go by Salvation Mountain, which is that big, straw, beautiful mountain roadside, I guess you could call it, all about Jesus, and this old man just painted forever. Then you go in through Slab City, and then you go make a left-hand turn down a dirt road, and you go to East Jesus. And it's not a biblical connotation here. It's just, okay, you know, you've heard the expression, where are you located? Well, he's out in East Jesus.
In Nomadland, Tim, I picked up from the movie the sense of just an overwhelming level of kindness with people out here in the art community. Is that what you found, these people to be very welcoming, very kind? I love that, the idea of meeting people that are creating artwork out in the middle of the desert in California. Did you find that to be the case at Slab City?
Slab City and East Jesus both were. You start talking to an artist, you see somebody that obviously lives there coming out of a tent or whatever, and they'll just talk forever. They're so friendly. And that's another thing, another rule, I think, on roadside is to embrace the people. These people are very special. And if you like something, you know, they're going to really be appreciative. And in my book, I was lucky enough, a lot of the big roadside art parks, I call them, a lot of the people were still there that created them. And they're fun to talk with. They give you a totally new perspective on life, most of them. And unfortunately, this past year, we lost like three of them, three creators of some of these spectacular things. So we're hoping the families continue. But most of the time, families don't have any interest in it themselves. Right. This is my weird uncle that owns this place or whatever. But that's part of the fun of it, meeting the really good characters, getting your picture taken with them, and just loving on them for them being so eccentric and whimsical. You got to like that.
Yeah, it's funny, when you talk about California, is you know, you have this beautiful art colony, and we're about to talk about Mike's trip to the Northwest part of the country. I'm curious, do you see it as a regional thing, the roadside phenomenon? Is it a regional thing? Because around here in, you know, the mid-Atlantic, we don't see them. There's nothing here like that. Why is it, you know, particular to certain regions of the nation, do you think?
That's a good question, Rob. And I think a lot of it has to do with space.
Yeah.
It's hard to build a 3-acre whatever, you know, bottle festival, whatever you want to call it, in the middle of D.C.
Right.
So I think it's popular. I think it's a land, available land. Also, you know, other people, the East Coast has its own sense of quirkiness that maybe differs from the California quirkiness or the Seattle quirkiness. It changes a little bit.
Okay. All right. That makes sense.
Just quick ahead, sidebar, Oscar, before we get back to Mike's road trip. There's a fence in Manassas made out of bicycles.
Have you been to Manassas, Tim?
Manassas, Virginia. I have not. Manassas, Virginia.
Oh, you must. You must.
No, he must not. Yes.
Hey, Oscar.
Yes.
Oscar, I hate to burst your bubble, but there's about a million fences made out of bicycles around the country.
Not an original idea. I knew it.
That's the way that goes. Yeah. All right. So, one of the reasons Rob thought it'd be cool to talk to you, first of all, I'm fascinated. I am so in tune with your advice about smelling the roses, stopping and chatting with the people, and I'm excited. We're going to fly to Salt Lake City, and then that first staying out at the airport overnight, getting on the road, crack of dawn the next morning, and up to Wyoming, and then Big Sky, Montana. What can you tell me about, obviously there's Yellowstone. What can you tell me about that part of the world?
Oh yeah, the it's vast. If you've never seen that part of the country, it's amazing. I drove just 2 years ago. I drove from Tacoma, Washington, right through that area on Highway 90, and down to 80 and across Indianapolis when I moved my daughter from Tacoma, and I was just in awe of some of the land and some of the landscapes. You see this stuff, but you know, there's a lot of different places to stop, and I know you're going to Coeur d'Alene. But on the other side of Idaho, right at the Montana border, there's a little town that you've got to go to. And it's
getting my pen out.
it's called Wallace. And Wallace is the center of the universe. And I'll tell you why. Because they were one of the last cities to actually clamp down on prostitution. Ooh. And and this is a little silver mine.
Now, you know he's mining. Got his son and wife with him, right?
This is Wallace, no, Idaho?
Wallace, Idaho. And it's okay. Right off of 90. And mm-hmm. But it's a little silver mining town with less than 1,000 population. But the town itself is really cool. And the reason it's called Center of the Universe, in fact, in the middle of Main Street and one of the other streets, there's a plaque that says Center of the Universe. And, you know, that's a popular place to get your picture taken. But back, the reason they call it that was back in 91, the government says, you know, we got to clamp down on this. Even your illegal and your legal brothels were shutting them down. And so the mayor or the city manager, somebody said, you know, everybody in the country is talking about this. It was a national news that Wallace is being shut down. And he says, everybody's treating us like we're no other news and like we're the center of the universe. And somebody says, aha, and they became the center of the universe. I mean,
you are
not?
Such a beautiful dork. I swear to God, this is so wonderful talking to you about this. I'm doing it. I'm stopping at Wallace. Go ahead. I interrupt you. Yes.
But for your kid, there's a couple of little, well, there's several museums. There's mining museums. There's like three brothel museums in old brothels. But, you know, you might want to send your kid off to Disneyland or something.
Honey, go shopping. There. Daddy's going to go to the brothel museum right there. World's oldest professor.
But there's a mummified mermaid in one of the little antique shops. A lot of it's really quirky little town. There's a little spaceship you can sit in the middle of the town and look at in front of a restaurant. And then, but there's a motel off to one of the Stardust Motel with beautiful old neon lighting and old neon signage. And there's so much to do in Wallace. I sound like I'm part of the Chamber of Commerce, but
you spend 3 hours in the brothel museum. I'm sure, you know, that would be,
if you go over 3 hours, they charge you extra.
I would love that. it's great. Do you, I'm getting, listening to you, I think there's time. That's why you can compile a book like you. By the way, I want to plug the book again. When we get a copy of it, we're going to show it a good picture of it. Tim O'Brien's Roadside Picks and Picks. That's PICS and PICKS, because he's a photographer. The Huge, the High, the Half Buried. You can get it at Walmart.com. We're talking to Tim O'Brien right now. I would imagine what I'm hearing from you, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is you wing it a lot. You kind of wander. You like wandering, and I love that. I love doing that.
Isn't
that
sort of the template for your trip out west? I mean, you've got a couple hard stops, but you're really going to play it by ear.
Wide open. Do you have any the one thing that I feel that touristy kind of Disney flavor, even though it's not, it's a wonder of the world, it's a natural wonder, is Yellowstone. Is there any advice you can give me about Yellowstone Park?
National Again, you know, when you pull in, get the visitor's map, get the visitor's information. As you always get what they suggest first and then go from there. Because sometimes the most overlooked attractions within a bigger attraction aren't listed. So, you know, follow their point A to point B advice and then keep your eyes open. Definitely. You know, you'll see rock formations or you'll see waterfalls or whatever. And, you know, in a national park like that, they try to keep things, civil. They want you to stay on the main road. But if you see smaller roads going, go explore, enjoy yourself. And if you don't go with any large expectations, you know, you're going to really enjoy yourself. That's totally awesome. And I think that's a piece of advice for anything. So, you know, Yosemite or whatever, and, you know, like, you're going to be in Spokane, you said,
yes.
Make sure you go down to Riverfront Park, because that's, they've got a big waterfalls right in that Riverside Park there. And, it's beautiful. I think that's called the largest urban waterfalls in the country.
Wow.
Really? Okay. All right.
It's amazing. And the whole Riverfront Park has been redone. They have a huge red wagon, as one of the big things. And that with a slide, they have an old Luth carousel. And I mean, that's a good place to stop and visit, even though it's on the beaten path. This is one of the occasions that you take off and, you know, enjoy what the park has to offer.
I don't know, Tim. I might be exhausted after Wallace, Idaho, and the brothel museums. I don't know if I'm going to have the energy to do that. What is the next big road trip for you, sir? What are you, before we let you go, I want to know what's the next on the list of travels for Mr. Tim O'Brien, photographer extraordinaire?
Well, thank you. I like that, Mike. Thank you very much. I'm a simple photographer. I just love to point and shoot. And a lot of times I do what they call drive-by shootings. You know, I'll just be driving with my one hand and with a camera and shoot with the other one.
Wow, there's a lot wrong with that sentence.
I
know. That's
cut him a break. No, he looks like George Carlin.
I know.
All right.
You know, as a matter of fact, I was going to call my book that, Drive-By Shootings, but they suggested I don't.
Probably not a good idea, Tim. But that's, Tim, that's why I just naturally like you anyway. You know what? There's just nothing. Anybody that wouldn't like Tim O'Brien to me, I want to speak to them because this is a nice person here.
So that's great.
Where are you headed?
I'll send out your phone number today anyway.
Thank you.
Going up to Maine in May, going up through Indianapolis, and then cutting across Ohio and up through Pennsylvania, and then New York, Connecticut, Massachusetts, and on up into Maine. And again, it's most of the time these are on main highways. So I try to track out ahead of time. Okay, if I'm going to be at point A on the highway, on the interstate, how far off do I have to go to find something fun? You know, 4 or 5 miles is usually my limit, but we'll do that. There's a lot of just really funkiness going through Ohio, especially up through the Columbus area and going north.
I've been to some of those public restrooms in Ohio. I think I can agree with you about the funkiness.
Maine, there's a roadside attraction. She's a national treasure in Maine. Her name's Timbertina. May we suggest checking her out?
Oh, the lumberjack show.
The lumberjack show.
That's in my backyard. I'm from Hancock, Tim. So I have a place in Hancock, Maine. Yes, I will not, and I'm not going there this year because I'm going to be going out west. They'd say that's it. But you know, maybe our paths will cross sometime up in Maine in the Belgrade. That's a beautiful part of the state, the Belgrade area. Really, really gorgeous. You know, this is great. You're fun to talk to, and I bet you're a blast. I bet you just every Friday you light up a big fatty and you just have a fantastic time. I think that's absolutely spectacular. He's shaking his head.
Why wait until Friday?
You rock. That is a fitting end. Tim O'Brien, roadside picks and picks, huge, the high, the half buried. You rock. Great talking to you. Sorry for the technical issue. And good luck with your travels, sir.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Tim. Have a great day.
There you go. And we'll try to get a copy of that book. We got to take a break. When we come back, more fun and more. We've got Oscar's take. Oscar's take, including some big news right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hello, everybody. This is Bob Barker. And yes, I'm still alive. When I was hosting The Price is Right from Television City in Hollywood, we played a lot of pricing games. Barker's Bargain Bar, Hole in One, Punch a Budge, Grocery Game, Golden Road, Plinko, and of course the lamest one of all, the bonus game. I hated the bonus game. If you want a good bonus, why not try the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show? It's a commercial-free, uncensored 6 hours of TMOS every week. Blah, blah, blah. I like when they say bad words. That's how much it meant to me. You can buy it at MikeOMaraShow.com. It's a fun way to support TMOS. Thank you. And don't forget to help control the internet population. Have your podcasters spayed or neutered. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you, Bob. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, everybody, it's done. I finished my refi yesterday with Cornerstone First Financial. It's awesome. The housing market is strengthening, which creates a buzz about mortgage rates increasing. Oh, no. There's talk about the gloom and doom in the mortgage industry.
Oh, no.
Don't be fooled. There are still great things happening. Mortgage interest rates are still half a percentage point lower than they were this time last year. Your home's value has gone up to record record levels.
Yes. We want to check your record levels. Keep it out of the red.
They've gone up to record levels. Sorry, we had a lot of technical stuff on the show today. Let me just say, Joanna, thank you for all your help. I appreciate that. You did give me personal attention from application to closing. And
yes.
You're spectacular. And I'd sing a song for you if I was feeling musical, but I'm not today. But Joanna, thanks for all your help. Loans are closing in record time. You need to call the only company I recommend, my friend Mark Livingstone and his great team, including Joanna, at Cornerstone First Financial. Call now, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Just like the weather, the housing market is heating up, and the professionals at Cornerstone are standing by. 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. With 20 years in the business, a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, and hundreds of great reviews, including many from our listeners, why would you call anyone else? Whether it's a refi or a purchase, call Cornerstone. You're going to love them. And because Cornerstone is a direct lender, they can guarantee to meet or beat any offer. Remember, 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Call now. Personal attention from application to closing. I love them at Cornerstone First Financial. And now, without further ado, it's time for Oscar's Take.
Oscar's Take,
a review and comment on the news of the day is only our Bolivian bloviator can do it. The views expressed by Oscar Santana in no way we express the views of the American people, the listeners of the Mike O'Mara Show, and the right-thinking city. You know what it is.
Yes.
And now, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Oscar's Take. There we are.
Hello.
Oscar, fast food workers see the inner workings of the kitchens at their stores. So after that, they still want to eat something. And if they do that, you know, it's got to be good.
Mm.
There is a discussion on Reddit where fast food workers are sharing the best thing on their store's menu that no one ever orders.
Ooh.
And I thought this would be a story for you.
Love this.
Are you aware of this one? Because I wasn't. Popeye's apple pie.
I didn't know they had some. That's amazing. Jeez.
I know.
You were?
Yes.
You were?
I think Popeye's is the last fast food place that still fries their pies. Because remember, McDonald's for a while, they had the fried pie, but then they went to baked. And right. But the Popeye's pie. That's a go-to.
This is not Rob's take. This is not, Oscar's
it's
take.
It's a subject matter champion. They should be able to weigh in.
Yeah, sometimes you bring in an expert.
It's his consultant.
He's pinch hitting.
Just as Rob said, deep fried like McDonald's. Here's another one. Wendy's side of melted cheese.
Oh, I wouldn't dare. I'm not, Mike, when I go to Wendy's, my expectations are low. So,
really? Mine are too. I hate Wendy's.
Great burgers.
They do. Wendy's does this weird thing where they say, here's a free Frosty. Eat the garbage food when you're done.
Yeah.
It's so strange.
Mm-hmm. Not great burgers.
A Frosty's
sloppy,
the
nasty
best
burgers.
Thing on
no.
The list.
Greasy. No. Nasty burgers.
I disagree. And you know why? Because they're the only one. They salt them enough. There's enough salt on a Wendy's burger. It tastes better.
Not my cup of tea. You can order a cup of melted cheese at Wendy's to dip your fries and nuggets.
Well, you know what? That's the only thing about that that's good is they have the worst fries. So hide them.
Their fries suck too.
Yeah.
All right. McDonald's cheap Big Mac. I just read this for the first time. Here's a quote. If you want a Big Mac for a fraction of the cost, order a McDouble with no mustard or ketchup and add shredded lettuce and mac sauce. So you can get it without the three with the same flavor. Now, that is
smart.
An idea right
smart.
There.
Yes.
I know you're on a diet, and I know you've been watching what you eat, hopefully.
Sort of.
Do you know what a McDonald's number one meal in the D.C. area costs now?
What is it?
Almost $12.
It's absurd. Fast food's going crazy.
Yeah. Absurd.
Yeah. I went to Jason's Deli and got the beef eater.
Oh, did you?
Hold on. Yes. like $17.
Yes. Oh my God.
And they give you a bag of chips and a pickle. Thank you. Sucked.
I just got a hot text from Matt Bloom. He says, if you get that thing at McDonald's, don't ask for the Macintosh sauce.
Yeah, that's a different kind of
sauce. That's the wrong Mac sauce to get.
Here they are again, a shop I don't pop into at all. Taco Bell Cheesy Doritos Gordita Crunch. Familiar with it?
No. It's not. All the gorditas are in the same family.
This one comes with a Doritos shell.
Yes, I've had plenty
and
of them.
Points for pronunciation, Mike. A Doritos shell.
Doritos.
Good. Not enough dust, Dorito dust on the shell. Tastes like a stale shell.
Mm-hmm. That stale would be the operative term for everything at Taco Bell. And finally, Subway. This is one you might be interested in. Subway chicken pizzola.
Ah, this is so good.
I've actually had that.
You've had that?
Yes, because when you have the palate of a toddler, you said, oh, you could have you can make this into what is essentially a parm sub, but a pizza sub with chicken.
He knew it. That's why I had it. You're listening to Oscar's Take.
This is Oscar's Take.
All right, we didn't lead with this. We should have, but we're not responsible that way. Prince Philip, the irascible and tough-minded husband of Queen Elizabeth II, who spent more than 7 decades supporting his wife in a role that both defined and constricted his life, as we have seen on so many television programs and movies, he has died. Mm. Buckingham Palace said today he was 99. His life spanned nearly a century of European history, starting with his birth as a member of the Greek royal family and ending as Britain's longest-serving consort during a turbulent reign in which the 1,000-year-old monarchy was forced to reinvent itself for the 21st century. He was known for his occasionally racist and sexist remarks and for gamely fulfilling more than 20,000 royal engagements. Did you start it again?
I did.
Was that a super short one you had there?
No, what happened is I like this version better. I hit the wrong button. I have
more than 20,000 royal engagements to boost British interests at home and abroad. He headed hundreds of charities, founded programs that helped British school children participate in challenging outdoor adventures, and played a prominent part in raising his 4 children, including his eldest son, Prince Charles, the heir to the throne. Safe home to Prince Philip. He's gone. 99. Long life.
Mike, this is probably not going to be a popular take.
But, I like when he starts this way.
First, let me say royal engagements are luxury trips, so let's not make a big deal about those.
Okay,
That in The Crown. The other side, and who I really feel for now, multiple people are hurt here, not just family members, but the cast of The Crown, especially the actor who plays Prince Philip, because he literally got killed off in real life.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not. They're not going to take him up to 99. They got decades to go for that particular actor.
Mike, you can age somebody forever. Now they're going to have to find somebody else because they're going to have to chronicle his death.
That's a wonderful take. Thank you. You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Say he was so involved in his kids bringing up. I don't see him going to PTA meetings.
I don't either. Oscar, Netflix further beefed up its film catalog on Thursday in a multi-year deal that will make it the new streaming home to Sony Pictures' top releases in the U.S. Beginning next year, Sony's new films will exclusively stream domestically on Netflix after their theatrical runs. That includes movies and popular franchises, Spider-Man, Venom, Jumanji, and 2022 releases including Morbius, Where the Crawdads Sing, a phenomenal book. I'm glad they made it into a movie. Uncharted and Bullet Train. The agreement also gives Netflix a first look option on any films that the Culver City, California-based studio elects to send directly to streaming. So a lot of new content coming to Netflix, Oscar.
I love this, Mike. It's a content war out there. And if you're Sony, you could have said, hey, we're going to start our own channel. But they said, we're not going to build it. We'll let someone else pay it. Maybe they won't make the, I guess, billions of dollars they would make on their own enterprise. But they also don't have to build it on their own. And if they fail, take the loss. Yeah. Go with the winner. Roll with who's already built it. And cash that check when it comes in.
Netflix getting better and better. You're listening to Oscar's Take, everybody. Even an NCAA championship, Oscar, that you watched, even the matchup between two widely acknowledged best teams in college basketball wasn't enough to set the television world afire. An estimated 16.92 million people watched Baylor win the national championship title by routing previously unbeaten Gonzaga on Monday. According to the Nielsen Company, down 14%. From the 2019 title game between Virginia and Texas Tech. Last year's NCAA basketball tourney was canceled, so ratings down 14%. I am a little surprised at
Me too.
With the pandemic putting everybody inside. Very, very surprised at that, actually.
The tournament wasn't the same this year. It wasn't even the lead-up and the fanfare because of COVID. The idea that they even had it, this number isn't shocking for me, which is what my take is, because you had these powerhouse teams DQ themselves and not even get involved. And that's what really, Mike, it goes back to when MLB wants, like, they want the Mets. They want the Yankees. They don't want the Rays. They want big dog programs.
So, like, it would be Duke, UCLA, yeah, Ohio State, things like that.
Something huge like that. Right. That they really, okay. You want to, the nation wants to see those two teams play. Now, our listenership would have liked Gonzaga to win. They just didn't.
Right.
Well, I don't want to piss off the basketball fans, but I'm just going to say too much scoring. Too much scoring. Anyway, that's it.
You want more defense?
Score. No, I want a hockey game. Anyway, thank you. You're listening to Oscar's Take.
Final score, 3-1.
And final story here, Oscar. During the final weeks of President Donald Trump's administration, Republican Matt Gaetz asked the White House for a blanket presidential pardon. Yeah, a request that was ultimately not granted, according to sources familiar with the matter. You're familiar with this guy.
Yeah.
Gaetz is seeking of a preemptive pardon for crimes that may have been committed was first reported by the New York Times. Trump was aware of Gaetz's request, but the idea was quickly dismissed inside the White House. That's according to sources at ABC News. The Department of Justice is investigating whether Gaetz had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old girl and paid for her to travel with him, potentially violating sex trafficking laws. That is your final story on Oscars Day. Curious what you think about it.
Mike, I implore you once again to check out the Lincoln Project podcast with our friend of the show and co-founder Reed Galen. They just had Michael Cohen on. They talk about, you know, news of the day as well, just the overall idea, news of the day in the world of politics. The idea that Matt Gaetz went to the Trump family and said, hey, we're going to support you, but you got to cover our asses moving forward, and use that as a smokescreen to say, remember that $900 Venmo I sent to my friend for that one hypothetical teenage prostitute? Yeah, no. The Trump family, they're a bunch of dummies, in my opinion. But they also can smell their own. So when someone says, hey, I need to get out of jail free card and I got your back.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I feel like somebody's scumbag antenna went up and said, wait a second.
Slow down.
That's what we do. That's what we do, not you.
Scumbag antenna. Yes. That's worth the whole thing right there. All right. We have to take a break. We're going to stop for a second here too, Rob, if
okay,
we can.
You got it.
We will continue with more fun and more thrills. You, ladies and gentlemen, are listening to The Mike O'Mara Show.
Is that someone with a clear pony?
Eli, you boy. Drain dry. I'm so sorry. Here, if you have a milkshake, and I have a milkshake, and I have a straw, and my straw reaches across the room and starts to drink your milkshake. I drink your milkshake. I drink it up. Did you think your song and dance and your superstition would help you, Eli? The only thing that will help you is the TMOA shopping center, Target and Walmart. You, boy. Access them at MikeOMaraShow.com. Be part of the solution. They have milkshakes, Eli, and straws. And Eli, if you go to the medical section, there will be blood. I shop it up.
Very dark.
A little
very
bit.
Sick. There Will Be Blood, my Daniel Day-Lewis impression. I feel like I need to explain it after I hear that promo.
No, I think the less said the better on that one.
Yeah. Yeah. And then after that scene...
No! Stop it!
He kills him with a bowling pin.
Stop it!
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. I'd love to tell you how much I'm enjoying my Theragun, but a family member has stolen it.
Oh, no!
Yeah, I loaned it to my mother-in-law, and it's gone. The Theragun is phenomenal. I could use it. Got a little tweak in the old back. Look, Theragun, if you got any problems with stress of daily life, Theragun can help. Theragun is the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using depth, speed, and power.
Power.
And it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy that goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. There's no substitute for the Gen 4. Bring it back, Linda.
That was
I love it.
That was very really direct. That was right there.
I really love it. The OLED screen and design is amazing. You got to go. I'm older than you, Linda. Bring it back. It's amazing. You got to go to their site.
Respect your elders.
And check it out. Plus, the Theragun app learns from your behaviors and suggests guided routines. Theragun is trusted by 250 professional sports teams. 250. Mm. Print it. Mm. Elite athletes, hundreds of thousands of customers, and me, Kevin Durant and Aaron Rodgers, they put their money into the company. That's how much they believe in it.
The Jeopardy guy?
Huh?
The Jeopardy guy?
He's not the
Rodgers?
Jeopardy guy. He's the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers.
Just being silly.
Try Theragun for 30 days, boy. All over. Drain it. Can't believe you didn't put that in.
Well, I need drainage. To make the drainage. Have to make the transition.
Cut the other crap out and put drainage, or write a new one. I'll do it.
All right.
Anyway, try Theragun for 30 days, starting at only $199. Go to theragun.com/TMOS right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's theragun.com/TMOS. Drainage. theragun.com/TMOS. And we thank you. Welcome back to the show. Big thanks have to go out. I got my second vaccination yesterday. I was thrilled to do it. A little more of a line yesterday. More people getting vaccinated. I'm all for that. Fantastic. Did a great job.
Same
all the
facility?
Wonderful people. Same facility up in Lehigh in Florida down here. And we drove. I took my son out, got him into the car, and got him to stop whining. He likes to come home, play video games when he's done with school.
Sure.
I got him out of the the doldrums by saying, you get to see daddy get stuck with a needle. Boom, he was right in the car. He was psyched about that. And I cannot possibly express my gratitude enough to Linda Herr. So I wanted to say thank you to her. She is a special human being who does special things for people, and I am eternally grateful. I'm grateful.
I got her address, so now that you're fully vaccinated, we can pull the trigger on the gift.
Oscar, I set you up. I have pulled the trigger on the
gift. You already did?
I believe...
drank his milkshake!
You drank my milkshake.
Yeah. I got him right there. I knew he was going to do that, and he did it. We didn't even prearrange it. I'm so happy. I'm so incredibly happy. I'll just get the response. OMG, Mike, you are incredibly generous.
Oh,
thank you.
So
thank
sweet.
You very much. There you go.
That's so
can
kind.
You turn
thank
Oscar's
you.
Volume up a little bit?
Yes,
thank
of course.
You.
Yeah.
Thank
so
you.
Can hear
thank
him.
You.
Yes, so I'm very, but I'm great. She did it for me, but she did it for other people. Started
she
with
did
her
a
dad,
lot of people, yeah.
And then I was the consultant, came on this show, gave people advice of how to do it, and now people are getting vaccinations all over the country, and I'm loving hearing about it. And there are still those holdouts, those dummies that are, for whatever reason, not getting it. And you know what? I don't think we have to worry about them.
No.
That's just my opinion. I think we are going to get this country vaccinated to a large degree,
yes.
And that's going to take
like,
care of
we pulled
of
a
those.
Little big horn on them. You know what we do? We
yes.
vaccinate everybody around them, so they have to have that awkward conversation about, oh, you're not vaccinated? Every
right.
day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Live
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. And there's a lot of folks that I've met down here that have a little toot about it, you know?
Mm.
And by the way, if you think you're bulletproof, my friend Mark Miller, who was on this show,
yes.
has a connection, a friend. I'm not sure if he was a close friend or not, but apparently he was telling me about a 52-year-old guy in incredible shape, admitted to the ICU
yeah.
with COVID. It can happen.
Everybody.
Don't be so stupid that you think it's only going to happen when it happens. You know, you're not bulletproof, especially the people that have denied taking the vaccine. Come on.
So we have a nice relationship at Podcast Village with the GW Hospital, and they had a vaccine special. And one of the doctors within that vaccine special answered a question from a viewer that said...
to be clear, the special was like a special podcast.
About vaccine.
It wasn't like a deal.
No.
I thought when you said they had a vaccine special.
If you could just be free anyway, as far
as I know. Hacky about the vaccine for 2 seconds and let me be serious.
You got to run the time, Rob. We've done it so many times, I'm all messed up.
Okay, we're good.
So you let me know when we have to break, okay?
The question was, do I have to get a vaccine if I'm young and healthy? And the doctor said, do you want to risk your quality of life if you don't get the vaccine and you get sick with COVID and you happen to be one of those outliers that the COVID infection lasts more than just a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are you going to live your life? And he had an example of one of his patients, didn't name a name, and said a 29-year-old marathon runner got COVID and to this day, a year later, still struggling.
Yeah.
Not back to normal.
And remember, as a subset to that remark, remember, you're not just getting it for yourself. It's for everybody in the world. It's
so
for
do it,
everybody. And
Rob's almost finished. Oscar's already gotten his first one. My wife's got her first one. Mm-hmm. Let's go get him. My neighbor, who I hang out with, my buddy Kevin at the bus stop with his daughter, he got one. He got the one and done, the Johnson & Johnson. Mm. I am thrilled that people are doing this. Get her done. That's the way we take care of this. And, and onward and forward. Please, people, even if you're on the fence, don't do it for yourself. Do it for other people.
Others.
And don't have that attitude. I don't need that. I'm not wait till other people.
I can't, what?
Who knows if it's going to work?
As unacceptable as it is to not get it done, and have an attitude, how are you wired? How are you wired?
It's a political thing.
I know,
Rob.
But it's
the way
so
that they're
stupid.
Set up. It's political.
It's ultimately selfish.
Very selfish.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I'm just working on I can't. Sometimes during the middle of the show, I get that.
I know.
I'm so. Can I tell you what? Can I really about this?
Yes.
And we'll get Jack Vail contact you.
Not this week. We spoke at the beginning of the week. He said,
I know you spoke at the beginning. Anyway, he has not contacted.
He has not contacted me. I'll reach out again next week.
So anyway, maybe it'll happen. But if he doesn't come back, I'm still loving his product. I can't lie about it. Send this to him, all right? Because Jack. I'm trying to get better at it, and I am resisting every day the urge to go out with my pals, and when somebody is teeing up a ball, when there's absolute silence, that's what I really want to do. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm 61 years old. What is wrong with me?
You're an entertainer, Mike.
You are.
That's all it is.
It is.
But I mean, I want to do it for my own entertainment, where it's just like, okay, there is a thing. No, I can't do it there. There is a shootout this weekend. Where they're two-man teams, and we were actually asked to send in some biographical information because we are going to be introduced.
Oh,
it's
neat.
Silly, but I was thinking, wouldn't that be great if there were like 12 or 13 members that are on the team watching us?
Yeah.
And then, you pull one of these, somebody's
What is
or he's got a microphone.
What does your bio say?
I put in, they said put in your golf accomplishments. Yeah. I don't have many of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I put in my my radio show.
Your standards.
Yeah,
I put
good.
In my
I like
standards
it.
For a bio, and then I was the first tee announcer for the 2000 and the 2005 President's Cup, which
it's
I
was. It's a shame you didn't have the pooter then.
That would be, for them? Ladies and gentlemen, from Windermere, Florida. There, I put saliva on my hands and it screws up.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it. Now it's not working. Now it's stopped the show.
No, you have to warm it up. You got to warm it up. Keep it in your warm hand.
Yeah. What is our running time right now, Rob?
We're at 53:25 right now, so we should break in about a minute and a half.
All right. Well, thank you very much. No, we should break at 53. That's the clock that I put together.
Okay.
But anyway, I just wanted to know that. Let me just do this one more time. It's one of those shows today.
Let's get a winner.
Very difficult. Literally, I'm going to finish this week kind of going,
better than last week.
Wouldn't have happened. Nothing that went wrong today would have happened without Masiello.
Without the what?
Just going to say that. Masiello. She's a good luck charm.
Yeah, oh, yeah, she is. Yeah.
She is a good luck charm.
She'll be back on Monday.
Mm-hmm. So, Linda Herr, God bless you. Thank you. You're a special human being. And I was happy to do what I did for you. Mm. And well, all right. You know what? I'll let everybody know.
Oh,
I bought her a brand new Corvette. We have to take a break. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, it's more stuff right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. Well, well, we'll be right back, everybody.
Oh, it's your boy, Paulie. Technology has come a long way for the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to it on iTunes and Spotify. Watch the boys on YouTube. Hang out with them on Facebook and Instagram. And now, they're also on Alexa. Let's check it out. Hey, Alexa, play the Mike O'Mara Show podcast.
Here's the Mike O'Mara Show from TuneIn. Number 2208. Full course meal. 1 hour, 22 minutes.
Today, on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Oh, my God. That's freaking unbelievable.
Yes, it is, Paul.
Back to you, Mike.
This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by Public.com. The stock market is made for public trading, so it should be more accessible for everyone. That's why Oscar and Rob just joined Public.com, the investing social network where you can buy stocks for any amount of money and share ideas with a wonderfully diverse community of investors. The app is free to use, and there are no account minimums to get started. With fractional investing, you can buy slices of stock at any amount of money versus buying full shares. So you can get started with as little as a dollar. And when you invest with Public.com, you're never investing alone. This is the best part. They make it easy to collaborate and build your confidence as an investor. It's fun, it's exciting, and it's interactive. You can get tips from other people that are doing the same thing you're doing. Break free of financial institutions that want to spend more money and profit from your information. Go to Public.com. You'll be glad you did. Go to Public.com/TMOS to follow Oscar and Rob. See what they're investing in. You can start investing today with as little as a dollar. You'll even get a free slice of stock when you join. Just go to public.com/TMOS to download the public.com app. Valid for U.S. residents 18 plus, subject to account approval. See public.com/disclosures, not investment advice. Let's talk about Rob's CPAP unit.
Please. Yes. I actually, Mike, I'm back on the CPAP train. And the only problem I had was when I gave up on it, remember, I was diagnosed with fat throat a few years ago and did a sleep study.
What it was you did a sleep study. Like they analyzed how many times you stopped breathing. It was significant.
A lot.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
It was a lot.
And it's not fat throat. It can be a variety of reasons. Skinny people use CPAP machines all the time. But in my case, I have a deviated septum that an ear, nose, and throat doctor one time said he'd never seen one quite as bad as mine when I broke my nose in this one particular hockey practice, which I never got fixed. And so, therefore, I am a mouth breather, and that's what's problematic for me right now. So, anybody can get it.
But my diagnosis was literally fat throat. She says, you have a very fat throat.
Yeah, but that was a decade ago.
Yes, and my throat has gone through some changes.
Gotten fatter.
But I think probably it's probably topped off right about now.
Right.
I'm not sure that any it's food seems to pass fine. But
you
own
stock in CPAP, don't you? Wasn't it down a little bit?
That was funny.
So,
thank you.
I tried the machine and it was keeping me up at night. And I got after a couple weeks of serious sleep deprivation, I said to myself, even though this is supposed to be helping me to be a better person as a sleeper, if it's keeping me up, it's really not helping. So I gave up on it and we put it in a closet. Well,
yeah. Now, normally, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to take it back to the doc and have it tweaked. So that what you were probably experiencing was too much pressure.
Actually,
and they might have made that happened to me too. And I
as I recall, I think I did a modification, and it was still keeping me up. It was just
yourself. You did it?
No, I went to the place and had them adjust it once again. And
the sleep center.
The sleep center. It was no. You know who did it? The sleep center was a separate place from where I got the machine. There was like a warehouse type place, and they did the adjustment.
Was it a strip mall?
It was probably in a strip mall. Yes, this is a long time ago. So I gave up on it. That's really the bottom line.
Okay, good for you.
And when we got it out of the closet, it was in a laundry basket, and it was totally complete. Except for
gotta be old. How many years ago was this?
A couple of years ago.
Than
that. We determined it was. I think
it was 8 years ago.
It might have been 8 years.
Eight years ago.
Yeah. So
the fact that he's still alive is a miracle.
What motivated you to break it back out again?
You're talking about it,
And oh, you mean as far as that it helped my sleep?
Yeah, exactly.
It changed your life.
Because when I got mine adjusted, I got to be full disclosure. I really have to be honest with you. I'm not. I think it's helping a lot, but I mean, it's just I feel now. Last night there was at one point I leaned back, my head back on the pillow,
right,
and my cheeks splayed out a little bit, like somebody was going again. And I don't know. There's all sorts of crap going on with this thing. She says she controls it from a distance. I don't know. Maybe she fools around with people. It's like, turn it up to 40.
You mean like your doctor like can control like by Bluetooth?
They have an email connection to it.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. I did not. Mine, I guess, does not have that. Mine just has an SD card. Is yours made of wood? Mine is made of wood.
Your life has an SD card.
So
a corrupted SD card.
Yeah, it is a corrupted SD card. So the electric cord was missing.
Silly dummy.
So I had to go to
SD card.
I had to go to Target.com and order an electric cord. So I got it. I cleaned everything like, you know, the doctor tells you to do.
Was it dusty?
It was very dusty. And I had to, you know, get a mild bleach solution to clean out the water tank and got everything up and, as my father would say, Bristol, and hooked it up with distilled
bleach.
Water. No, a mild bleach solution, you know, to run through the mask and the tube and everything.
Like you didn't check what they say about that, right?
Is that your homemade, like?
It's soap and water is really, you want a mild soap.
Mike, this was.
As opposed to bleach, because to be breathing.
Do you listen? Because it's a teaspoon of bleach in a gallon of water. It is very mild.
But it's not what you clean a CPAP with.
It's what I cleaned it with.
Yeah, you cleaned it with. You would not, that's not, it's not a good idea.
A doctor's
to do
probably
that.
Not going to tell you to do that.
When
you're being a smartass and telling me, do I listen? I'm telling you, I've had this for multiple years and I've cleaned it multiple times.
Yeah, but you were implying that I was like pouring pure Clorox through it. You were, I mean, no, it was a mild bleach solution.
Bleach is not what you're supposed to use.
Well, I went to the next sort of a level of clean because it has been unused for so long.
But that was your decision, not prompted by the doctor.
No, it was my decision. And then I ran gallons and gallons of hot water through it afterwards because I wanted to make sure there was no sort of,
that
you know.
That is a lie.
That's not a lie.
Yes, it is.
How could that be a lie?
Gallons and gallons. I'm just saying. I think you're embellishing.
No, I took.
I'm not trying to give you a hard time. You're making it impossible not to.
I put the I put the hose up to the faucet, ran hot water through it for a couple minutes. I mean, there is no bleach in there anymore. The bleach was in there as a cleansing process, and then I rinsed the bleach out. And so I got it, hooked it up, put the distilled water in. Remembered my setting of 5, turned it on, went to bed, and you know
weekly
what?
Weekly cleaning tips.
Okay.
Unplug your CPAP machine from the power source. Disconnect air tube hose from your mask and CPAP machine. In a sink or tub, rinse the inside and outside of the air tubing with mild soap and warm drinking quality water.
Okay.
I didn't do that just to bust your chops. I did that because it was in my memory about that they're funky. It's the same reason they want you to use distilled water.
But
I don't know, but you might have dry throat after running bleach through it.
My skin has never been whiter.
Doctor, what are these white spots on my throat?
But what I'm saying, Mike, is I wanted to make sure there was no sort of gribblies in there. So I ran a weak mild bleach solution through it and then rinsed it thoroughly.
You've said that now. That's not changing anything that I'm saying to you about the bleach. You're holding on to it, but I'm saying
unauthorized.
Yeah. Okay, so I did.
Another one. I'm just going to pass it along because I've got it. Soak and wash your CPAP frame and cushion with unscented, mild, soapy, warm water. Mild is used for a second time. Bleach would be the opposite of mild. It would be very, you know.
Astringent?
When you murder someone, you pour bleach around to get rid of the biological evidence. You know.
Yeah. I guess, you know, in retrospect, perhaps it was a bad move.
I'm just telling you what I remember, you know.
But there is no appreciable, after two nights of sleeping with it, no appreciable decay on my body. So maybe
I have a list of don'ts if you're
interested.
Oh, great.
I love don'ts.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
thank you.
Avoid using liquid soaps with heavy perfumes.
Yes.
These chemicals will surely speed up the deterioration of the silicone. Avoid using scented baby wipes or on your CPAP mask, blah, blah, blah. Do not machine wash your headgear. Bleach or other harsh chemicals will not get rid of the discoloration on your CPAP, but they will ruin it.
Oh, no.
It is here on the website is CPAPmachines.ca.
Oh, no. Oh,
I just had to, you know, and you bleached it.
Well, the good news is I did order a replacement hose and mask.
Good, good.
So
good.
When this
after
one
the other one dissolved,
yeah, hey, this because is not working as well as I thought it should.
Because when I picked up my mask, it felt like a puddle of pudding.
I picture Rob like with ectoplasm on his fingers. So did you try it?
Yes, and I slept through the night two nights in a row. Except the I don't know if I was drooling or if there was too much water coming or moisture coming in with the forced air, because when I woke up this morning, my mask had shifted, and it was pressed in my face in such a way that there was a small, steady fart sound happening constantly from my mask. Because
now
it was
try again. This isn't going to work. Do you feel, is this the first night, last night, the first night?
This, this morning was my second morning, and actually yesterday I got a great night's sleep, and I said to Carrie, I said, what do you think? She said that I can't hear the machine, and also for the first night that I can remember, no snoring, no talking.
Good for you.
So
this was a better segment than I could have ever dreamed of. And Carrie also said, why are your eyes so milky?
She said, did you just come back from the pool?
It's the bleach. It's the bleach. So that's good. I'm glad you're doing better with it.
So keep you updated.
Keep the bleach away.
Yes, mild soap.
Right there it is, right in the don'ts.
Yeah.
Mild soap, yeah. Without perfumes. You know, they're very picky about that kind of stuff.
Oh, my. Hey, all of my soaps are heavily perfumed.
On the road in a pinch, you can throw some, like, bottled water in there.
Yeah, right?
Okay. Might trip you. I cheat. We'll take a break. We'll come back with my smart son right after this.
1, 2, 3.
Hey, guess who's here?
Hello. James Tiberius Cerritos.
Jimmy Cerritos.
Let's say you're the undisputed 5-time king of the wings.
Hey!
But you've left all your favorite stuff back in your rental RV.
Oh, no!
You're not worried because you know you can replace all your treasure by visiting the Mike O'Mara Shopping Center. A case of wing sauce.
Put some wing sauce on it.
A Buffalo Bills mini replica football helmet.
Go Bills!
A stack of adult coloring books.
Mo, have you seen my crayons?
Or the latest release from Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy!
Just click the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and order it all.
It'll be okay.
Gonna be okay.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Sleep Number. And I love my Sleep Number bed. I've loved it for a very, very long time. Why should you choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because a good night's rest helps boost immunity. We were just talking about sleep. Improves recovery and increases energy. That's why you need Sleep Number. Sleep Number is fabulous. I've had one for many, many years. And this is a statistic that is amazing. Sleepers who routinely use their Sleep Number 360 smart bed features get almost 100 hours more proven quality sleep per year based on internal analysis of sleep sessions. That is a fact, Jack. And since the pandemic began, Sleep IQ sleepers have gained an average of 53 hours of restful sleep compared to last year. So if you want the best sleep that you've ever had and you want to keep a consistent schedule, dim the lights, keep your bedroom at about 66 degrees. And the most important thing of all, don't ever forget this, get a Sleep Number bed. I wouldn't sleep on anything else. Remember, a great day starts the night before. My Sleep Number is a 65. Carla's is also a 65. I really love that Sleep Number, and I slept on a 75 setting for a long time.
Crazy.
It's the best. Proven quality sleep is life-changing sleep. Introducing the new Sleep Number 360 C4 Smart Bed. The queen size is now only $14.99, only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com/TMOS. Just make sure they know that Mike O'Mara sent you, and I appreciate everything Sleep Number has done for this show over the years. They're a wonderful advertiser. Let them know that I sent you when you go in there. By the way, are we at the thing yet?
Yeah, you got to spin the wheel and open it up.
Oh, I forgot. Okay, we'll talk about my smart son. That'll hold.
Right.
I'll do that. But Oscar knows that. I'm pretty excited about that, Oscar.
That is exciting.
Is he so smart that he doesn't use bleach on his CPAP?
He doesn't use the one thing they tell you not to use to clean his machine.
My face is so itchy. I don't know.
There are two things it said. Two things. Don't use bleach on a CPAP machine. And when you're doing a commercial for an investment company, don't talk about taking a loss. That said, other than that, everything is fine.
Golden rules.
The golden rules.
Yeah, that's
rules.
It. Just a couple of rules
there.
Well,
Mike, when you take rules, oftentimes you need to take advice from people. And I always like to take advice from smart people like rock stars. And I think there is a special brand of stupid. There is the stupid person, but then when you escalate it, there's the person that feels the need to take their stupidity and put it on social media so you know they're stupid because they have a confidence behind it. I know you're a huge Ted Nugent fan.
Oh, my God. The Motor City Madman is a madman. He and his guns and his Trump and all his stuff. Oh, my God, Ted Nugent. Shut the F up. You were never that good anyway. Thank you very much.
You are absolutely right. He never was that good, but he has a common sense meter, and he'd like to weigh in on the pandemic. Here is a rock and roll legend, Ted Nugent.
You know, this year's tour is canceled again. Dirty, lying, scam, smoke and mirrors. COVID-19 freaks. You know, I guess I would ask you, because I'm addicted to truth, logic, and common sense, and my common sense meter would demand the answer to, why weren't we shut down for COVID-1 through 18?
I want a counterpoint. Yeah, okay. Well, he can't rebut me because he screams at people and yells at people.
Yeah, he does.
Ted, what medical degree do you have? What degree in immunology do you have? Mm. What medical research lab have you worked for in your truth, your logic, and common sense? You don't have any of those things, Ted. You don't. You're a big dope that's propagating this crap on people that are small-minded and are going to follow you into the fire. Get vaccinated, but let's listen to the rest of the dope.
The dope gets dopier. As he continues.
All right, great.
Demand the answer to, why weren't we shut down for COVID 1 through 18? There was a COVID 1 and there was a COVID 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. COVID 1 through 18 didn't shut anything down, but whoa, COVID 19, even though it's 99.8% survivable.
Stop it again, please.
Yeah. Why didn't we?
Ted, by the way, nice camo pants.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Very nice. As you're sitting and farting on your ATV, you incredible, abysmal human being, over 500,000 people have died.
Yeah, like, is this old tape? Like, who the hell comes out with this?
This is new.
Crazy.
This is new.
Yeah, let's listen to this.
Yeah, there's just a little more, Mike.
Shut down for the AIDS epidemic or the flu or the Spanish flu.
Yeah, there it is.
The bird flu or the West Nile flu. Or influenza every year.
Just dabbling.
What you need to know, and I did research to make sure this was true, COVID-19 means coronavirus disease 2019. CO for corona.
It's not a number. There haven't been 19.
Exactly.
That is
it denotes
ancient.
By the
way, seriously, Oscar's right. When did he record that? That was done years ago, it seems like now. Months ago.
They were talking about
COVID-19 being a number.
Yeah.
New tape.
Yeah.
It was really somebody in the Trump administration.
I think we're on the same page.
I think Kelly McEnany came out and said,
I think it was all the other variants
of COVID. It's 2019. That's
so,
what it is.
Yeah, so remember, folks, COVID-19 is actually coronavirus disease 2019. That's how they got the phrase. So anyway, think about that the next time you play Cat Scratch Fever, Mike, okay?
Yeah, wow.
And here's counterpoint. I just like when the more sensible people are actually our comedians.
By the end of this weekend, almost half of American adults will have had their first dose of the vaccine. The question is, will they come back for the second dose? Health officials have seen a rise in what they call vaccine hesitancy because some people feel sick after their second shot, and then they tell people, and then people go, I'm not going to go get the second shot. But you know what else makes you feel sick? COVID makes you feel very sick. COVID-19 specifically.
So keep that in mind, folks, all right? This I love. This happened Tuesday. Mike, I don't think you've ever flown Qatar Airlines.
Q-A-T-A-R. No, never had the pleasure. Yeah.
Looks beautiful.
They broke history. They made history this week. They had a first flight since the outbreak of COVID. Everyone, crew, and passengers were all fully vaccinated.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the captain speaking. I would like to welcome you on our flight. Today's flight is a remarkable industrial milestone as the world's first flight where all passenger and crew are fully vaccinated against COVID-19.
That is such a breakthrough and a step in the right direction, and knowing that we're doing this right. I love that.
You know, they should vaccinate that audio.
I would like to know, Are we going to know when we get on our plane in June? Are we going to know if everybody's been vaccinated or who's not been vaccinated? We're not, are we? Because of the freedom. I'm free. You can't tell me. You can't tell me, and I don't need to tell you. That's the way it's going to go, I'm afraid.
Yeah, for the people that have traveled that have been fully vaccinated that I know personally.
Right.
Yes.
The experience of going on a flight and having your mask on, but not the terror of the mask falling off briefly, is just peaceful. It's bliss.
I'm with you. Mm-hmm. I'm with you on that one.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Now that I'm fully vaccinated, mm-hmm. I don't think it's really landed on me yet.
Yeah. I can't imagine it would have.
You should go jump in bleach. You'll be okay.
I'm a don't get happy guy. Mm-hmm. You know? I was just checking my market results.
Yeah.
I am so glad.
Rob, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
I'm going to do a stronger bleach solution tonight.
There you go.
Over ice.
I don't think one time is going to really hurt you, if I can be very serious about it. I'm very glad you're using it.
Yeah.
I think it'll prolong your life.
I hope so. Because, if all days are like this, I want them a lot more of them.
Okay. You want to die because you've had such a hard day.
It's a hard life, let me tell you.
Mike, are you familiar with a baseball player named Michael Conforto?
No, I don't know this guy.
Conforto plays
a spectacular ball player.
He plays for the New York Metropolitans.
And, the Mets.
Yeah, they beat the Marlins last night because he got hit with a pitch. However, this was a bungle because he obviously leaned into the strike zone to be hit on his elbow pad. Check this out.
Cheater.
Yeah, he's a cheater, pumpkin eater. Michael Conforto.
1-2 coming. And the slider in there, strike three.
To get out of the way, it was a strike, but he didn't move.
The ball hit him, and it was going to be a strike.
Yep. So Michael Conforto gets a game-winning RBI by sticking his elbow into the pitch from Anthony Bass, and the Mets rally for two in the bottom of the ninth, and only now can they fully celebrate as the umpires say that the game is over. What a bizarre way to end the game.
I have never seen that.
Hey, a lot of the guys that have that. All right, there we go. Michael Conforto. I think we ought to take him out and beat the tar out of him. Absolutely, yeah.
Is it cheating? Is it strategy? As the biggest baseball guy here, what's your take on that?
It is a rule that you cannot do that. If the ball is in the strike zone, you cannot lean into it.
All right.
But he's not the first guy that's done that kind of stuff. They try any advantage. It's a little edge that they try to do. It's the umpire's job.
All I know is I've never seen a game won that way.
Thank you very much, Michael Conforto. Thank you.
All right, let's close with this. The average person forgets 10 passwords a month on their computer. And if I did not have the auto complete I'm sure I'd be right there with them.
I would too.
Yeah, because
100%.
I just so this reminded me of a scene from The Office. They had they got locked out of their server and they had to find the password on The Office.
It's saying the server went down. Does anybody know that password? Because otherwise, we can't do any work.
You know what? It made me laugh when I heard it, but Pam got really offended.
Big boobs.
Drama queen. Nosy.
You're typing big boobs?
I'm trying everything.
Try big boobs with a Z.
That's the password. We're in.
All right. Wow. Yes.
The important thing is, this kept us secure, people.
Mike, remember, it's boobs with a Z. That's your digital dumpster. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Fantastic. Rob, you keep using that CPAP, okay?
I will. Yeah. I will.
And go to a sleep person to, you got insurance. Yeah. Go check them out to make sure it's perfect and you're tweaked and all that.
Yeah.
And you might be able to get a free new one, too,
Mine is made by Sears. It's a Craftsman CPAP.
Don't you have a Montgomery Ward CPAP?
Yes, that's the one.
We got to get out of here thank you all for your support. Linda Herr, thank you very, very much. Want to also thank our author we had on today, Mr. Tim O'Brien. His book is Roadside Picks and Picks. That's P-I-C-S and P-I-C-K-S. The Huge, the High, the Half Buried. The High, I'm betting on, was one of his favorites. But who knows? He just looked like a hippie. We'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Michael Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Michael Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
She wants a D, and she's going to get one.
It ain't over till it's over.
Oh, good for you.
I lost the Minions again. You don't need to send a new one. That's God telling me not to do that.
You don't want the Minions back?
No, no, I'll do my Minion.
Hold it, Mike. I have it.
No, I don't want to hear the real Minions now.
See, Papa.